Joining us now in studio is Northfield's city administrator, Ben Martig. Good morning, Ben. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm great.
Good, good. You had, hopefully the mayor will be in soon. I know she's got kids and getting them ready and stuff in the morning. So you had your first city council meeting of the new year of 2019, I guess it is now, last night. Let's start off just by, you know, it's the first one of the year. You got a new council member, and probably some of those day one things, it's like the first day of school, you got to kind of get some things in order. What were some of those things last night?
Yeah, so we kicked it off with the oath of office, which is kind of an official swearing-in ceremony, mm-hmm. and so that's a nice feel-good thing for us all get kicked off to a new start. So we got three members that were appointed to the city council by the voters that had their oath taken, and one of those is new. Clarice Graybaugh is our newest council member serving the council, and Councillor Peterson-White and Councillor Nikazian also will be rejoining us again. So they all went through those official ceremonies and did the swearing in. And then we go through kind of our annual business items that we have to do, some of those state law-driven designation of our official newspaper, our depositories for the year. So just a couple of those. We had intended to talk about our rules of business at the end of the meeting, but we didn't get to that one. The existing rules stay in place. Basically, it relates to procedures and things that we have that the council agrees to follow, Robert's rules, mm-hmm. decorum. So we're going to kick that into a future discussion. But beyond that, those were kind of our official kind of annual things that we do.
And you also had some appointments to boards and commissions and stuff. We won't go into that too much other than, are there still, if people out there would like to serve, are there any openings on any of the boards and commissions at this point?
You know, there was a lot of appointments. And I know the mayor goes through a very thorough process in vetting all of those applications. And there's, you know, typically what we have, fortunately, in this community is we often have more people interested in serving than we have seats, and so that's a good problem to have for communities, because I know it's not always that way in other communities where you really dig in to try and get people to volunteer. So we did have some discussions about that. I think there were over 120 maybe appointments or so last night, and I believe most or all of those are filled, but mayor and the city clerk work very closely with that. There might be a few stragglers left behind, but I think for the most part we've got a pretty full slate.
All right. If you'd like more information, you can certainly get that down at City Hall if you're interested in serving on one of the boards and commissions, a special interest. Let's move on a little bit. You had a labor agreement. You approved raises for the base pay schedules of city employees as well last night. Tell us a little about that.
Yes, we've had we have four labor unions with the city, and the council's had a couple of closed sessions, one last evening before the meeting and one prior, and our staff works on negotiations with those labor unions, and we did not have contracts settled for 2019 for our labor unions. We came to the end of a multi-year agreement, and then we also hadn't done anything for non-union employees. So after the closed meetings that we had last night, the council brought forward a resolution and supported approval for all non-union employees and our sergeants labor union, a 2.5% pay increase for 2019 at the beginning of the year, and then an additional 2.5% in 2020. So public employment law is a little unique, but to kind of keep it simple, we kind of have a combination longevity type of pay schedule where steps based on your mastery of your position, years of service, the market range can range from a starting step to a maximum step. So you, depending on where you're hired, you might be maxed out. So this is kind of what you consider a cost of living adjusted, a 2.5%. But some people are, many of our employees are also in a step schedule and are eligible for that as well. But we look at market conditions. We look at what other comparable cities are doing in doing that. And, you know, we are kind of on the heels of a compensation study. So this is still pretty fresh to the city council. So I think it keeps us competitive within the market with what other communities are doing, a similar type of communities. And we've got contracts settled for a couple of years, and it's within our budget adopted for 2019. So council moved forward with that, which kind of marks off another major piece of our our finances, I guess, and work for the year to have done at the beginning of the year.
All right. As Mayor Pownell joins us now, there are a couple of items that generated a lot of interest and a lot of conversation. First of all, let's talk about the biosolids, the wastewater treatment plant. 2018 was a tough year for the plant, and we've gone over that before, but you need to do some replacements. You need some new equipment in there, and that 2019, you're bringing that to the level of the council approval and such. Where, Mayor, maybe you can describe to us, or Ben as well, where we're at in that process. Are the plant is up and running? Is it, are the new things in place? What happened last night?
So we have a temporary biosolids processing equipment that's been functioning since the fire. Mm-hmm. So this is really approving the plans and specs for the, the installment of the new biosolids processing equipment. So we are moving in a positive direction here. We're looking at potentially having that completed later in 2019. And it brings up to date all of the equipment in that building, which is just, that was something that was in our capital improvement plans I can't remember which year. So this is really advancing that, and it improves the quality of the processing equipment, still maintains, what was it, the Class A status of the equipment. So it's a green, efficient process. So I think we're moving in a positive direction, and as maybe some people don't know, our wastewater treatment plant serves not only Northfield but the city of Dundas. So it's really important area over there in our community that really kind of flies under the radar unless something happens. But you've got to pay attention to it and make sure that the equipment is up to date and is in good quality condition. So
last night you were approving the plans and you're going out for bids for that now? That's where we're at in the process?
Yes, basically the installation. Some of the equipment the council had already authorized previously, because it takes quite a bit of time to actually get it designed, built, and delivered to us. So it's kind of we did a full recap of the entire system, but some of those components are already moving ahead. But this will complete all of the bidding components, including the labor, like the mayor said, to do the install. So you're looking at a total project, $5.3 to $5.8 million engineer's cost on that. And again, we're fortunate that insurance is covering that. It's the end process of our processing of our wastewater plant where we had that fire, so it will be brand new equipment, mm-hmm. which was previously probably about 16-year-old equipment.
Now, the insurance is going to cover 100% of this?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Now, I understand, I know neither one of you are bio-waste engineers, but I understand it's a little bit different type of thing. We're not using heat this time. We're using lime. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Bolton and Mink engineer kind of went through a compare and contrast with the mm-hmm. previous system. So there's lower temperatures generated, but like as you said, there apparently was a combination heat source and chemical type of reaction that was going on, or mm-hmm. sources that were going on. So there is less of that. There was discussion about there is no fire suppression still in our building. We've added some additional alert alarms that weren't in place before, so we will be getting more alerts. But with the exception of our generator facility, we don't have sprinkling out there. It's not uncommon in wastewater plants. Much of it isn't subject to potentially fires. This particular part of the process, I think, is. We also don't have water main near our wastewater plant, and apparently a number of years ago that had been looked at. So I think that there have been some questions about that, and so I think we're going to be continuing to look at some facility plan updates. So we'll be talking about whether or not that's something to look at adding as well, with that to be, because there isn't enough water source on our wells out there right now.
Mm. All right, so you would need to build a water line out there, and then set.
Yeah, now the engineer
expense involved with
yes.
That.
Now the engineer did get into a lot of technical detail, I think, around that subject, knowing that the fire was what replaced that. And there's a lot of different things with this new modern technology of this equipment. So some of the belts and things that were in the old system, there are no belts. It's all metal steel on the inside. It's a lower temperature, like I think the mayor mentioned. So there are a lot of things that really mitigate the likelihood of fire compared to what the old system had as well. But yep.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll have the joy of talking more biosystem waste and such in the future. So let's. I want to move on though. You had last night something called ADU, which is accessory dwelling units. This was brought forward by the Planning Commission. Is that correct? They've been working on this, and. Last night you had the first reading of an ordinance revision. Tell us about that and what ADUs, accessory dwelling units, are.
Yeah, well, they are currently allowed in our land development code, but they are primarily connected to like a garage. So it would be the upstairs level of a garage, which really isn't very conducive to our senior population. Unless you're going to put in an elevator, but I don't know who wants to put in an elevator in their garage. So this is really trying to get at accessory dwelling units for our senior population, but also allowing tiny houses, which is something that has been in interest to the community, and affordable housing. So it hits on both of those, the affordable housing, the senior living, increasing density within walking distance of downtown, lower impact living, and potentially needed income for homeowners, because it does allow the units to be rented. So what is being proposed here is that it would not have to be an accessory dwelling unit, would not have to be attached to a garage, increasing the size of the unit and removing the lot size limit, no parking requirement, and then it would not have to look like the principal dwelling. So there were some pretty significant questions around it. It's the first time that the council had an opportunity to really discuss it and ask some questions. And I think there were some really good questions out there, and highlighted maybe some areas that needed some clarification in terms of the square footage and the rental ordinance. What was the other item?
Yeah, there was questions, size limits as it related to the unit. So the way it was proposed by the Planning Commission was the maximum size was 1,000 square feet or 50% of the principal unit, basically. Now, so, you know, depending on the size of your home, whichever one's larger, theoretically, you could even end up with, if you have less than 1,000 square feet building, the accessory dwelling unit could potentially be bigger than the main unit related to the house. So that was obviously a discussion of the council with that. I think also if you have a very large home, which we do have some very large homes in the community, you could end up with some really substantial size units on the same lot. So questions came up like, well, what if somebody were to propose a lot split in the future to try and transfer ownership on a subdivision? And so we talked a little bit about those issues. But I think, as the mayor said, there's a lot of questions, I think, with this. I think at a minimum there are some clarifications on definitions that are going to need some adjustment. So this is a first reading, and there is multiple readings. Not often that we utilize where we maybe need to do some work as follow-up, but I think in this case I'm expecting that there's going to at least need to be some cleanup language to meet some of the intent of that. It did pass, I think it was 5-2, I believe?
Yep, 5-2 vote.
But yeah, so I mean, I think there is a lot of good discussion, and this is an innovative and unique ordinance, and I think it demands the public's attention just to be aware of this, because it does meet a lot of goals, but I think there are some potential things that we're looking at that could have some impacts that people might be concerned with as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very interesting that this has come about. And, I like the idea of the houses and such. But reconciling that with, the current rental codes that we have, people can't rent their houses out in some parts of town, by the colleges, kind of basically on the grid part of the colleges. Is this the same? Can people now build another house on their property and rent that in those areas? Has that been addressed yet?
It's my understanding that this will allow that, yes. But that was one of the questions that we asked last night. I think it was clear that the Planning Commission's intent that it would not have to meet that 20% density. It would be excluded from the 20% density. But it's also my understanding from city staff last night that that's not the case. So I think we are just looking for some clarification on that. Is it one way or the other? And if it's going to remove it from the 20% density, let's be transparent about it.
Yeah. As far as the infrastructure within residential neighborhoods, Can it handle, let's say, if you know, five people on a block want to build a small house out there, do they have enough water? Is there enough power and stuff going in there, the sewer and everything? Are those more questions that need to be answered? Or?
Well, generally, I would say our infrastructure would be able to be expanded mm-hmm. to be able to accommodate it. Now, what we didn't do is we didn't do a full analysis that said if everybody in this entire neighborhood did a full add-on, what's the sewer capacity mm-hmm. issue? So admittedly, we did not do any more sophisticated sewer analysis. I think that part of this might be, too, is a little bit of if you put it in place, you might learn some things as you go along as well, was at least one of the, I think there maybe was even a public comment on that from one of our Housing and Redevelopment Authority commissioners. But that's a good question as well, because when you get into density, those are concerns. Mm-hmm. Some of the things is our zoning code, too, just to make a side note, is kind of moving in that direction. The new neighborhood residential standards that we have does allow for mixed densities. So longer term with our community, those goals mm-hmm. have been there. But this is unique where it's even in the existing parts of the community. And like the mayor said, I think those we need clarification on the rental, the existing rental ordinance, because as the attorney and I read it, I don't believe that it impacts it. But it looks like maybe there was some discussion the other way. So we're going to take a look. So, again, there is no urgency. We can take a pause. We want to get it right on the ordinance to at least, mm-hmm. Even if there's policy to debate on it, we want to at least make sure it's a clear ordinance and it's understood.
Yeah, very interesting. I like that, and I like that there is no urgency to this because there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. How long do you think the Planning Commission has been working on this? First time the City Council has seen it. How long have they been working on it, and how long do you anticipate it will take for them to work through all the questions that we have?
Well, the staff report said that I believe it was like four meetings that they held, including a public hearing, and then they mm-hmm. had maybe had been an 8-month total, so I'm not exactly sure what that means, maybe including staff research time. Going forward, I don't know. I mean, I would assume it would be on, we got it tentatively on the next regular agenda for discussion. So I would say at a minimum that long, but it might take longer than that. The technical, you know, the actual writing of the ordinance, it's a really short ordinance mm-hmm. actually in the red lines, but significant policy discussion on it. So, you know, I think it's probably more about the broader discussion of the policy impact than it is about the specific language. We can prove the language or clarify the language, but I think it's more of the broader impact of it and giving examples and things with it.
If now, there's probably a lot of people out there hearing this for the first time. I know you had a public, or the Planning Commission had a public hearing, but really? Who do they contact? If somebody has an idea, can they email council or the Planning Commission or, you know, phone in thoughts? Or
I think, they can certainly contact both the Planning Commission and the City Council. Right now it's at the City Council level, so mm-hmm. it's City Council members really okay. need to hear from
sure.
people and their thoughts on this. And come to our meetings. Yeah, we love to have people at our meetings.
Sorry, I would say also Scott Temple is our city planner, and so if they've got technical questions, he's certainly another resource who's available during our work day as well at City Hall.
All right. That's an interesting conversation. I like it. It'll continue, I'm sure. We're out of time already, but we want to thank you so much for coming in today. We certainly appreciate it. Thank you for being here each week in 2018, and we're looking forward to 2019 as well.
One quick thing, Jeff. We had one counselor bring up trees, and just a little added reminder, we are still taking pickup at the curb of Christmas trees if people have those. So
they were kind of littered throughout the neighborhood yesterday with that wind that we had blowing. Yeah.
So no extra cost through January 19th. Put alongside your garbage cart before 7 a.m. on your regular garbage day and take off the tinsel, garland, lights, and ornaments. And if it's more than 6 feet, cut it in half. So
perfect.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff.
That's Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell along with City Administrator Ben Martig. Terry coming in, local news in just a moment. News with a side of sports with Care 11's Tim McNiff on the way. Here's the latest from around the state.